Accession number 16585, Karen Churchill, Reel 1.
Corin Churchill, Reel 1.
Yes.
So could I ask you then, first of all, Corin, to tell me something about your background before the war. Whereabouts were you born and brought up?
I was born in Dresden and brought up in Dresden. And my father was an ethnologist, and my mother an opera singer, and she was high dramatic mezzo-soprano, and my father, he sang as a lyric tenor, and that's how they both met. But my father was an ethnologist by profession, and he studied African cultures, and that was my background. And I had a twin brother, and I have a twin brother, and I had an older brother, 5 years older, and we always sang together. There was music in the house, singing, and music. Not much money, but plenty of music.
Your and family, your parents' family, had they always lived in Germany and that
yes.
part of Germany?
Yes, yes. My grandmother, my mother was a farmer's daughter, but she came from Thuringia, and she was not the choice of my father's parents, so therefore my father was cut off from the family for making a choice other than what his parents suggested. And so that, hence the lack of fortunes. And which, of course, then later on, when the way my father explained, when the inflation came, so the the wealth of the family disappeared anyway. My grandfather died. He had 2 brown coal mines and a textile factory, which then, when my grandfather died, my grandmother was advised to sell, and that was just short before the inflation. Money was worth nothing, and that is how everything just fell apart because of it. So,
would there have been any sort of militaristic history in your family?
Yes, yes. In fact, it goes right back to 1860. 1845. I have sort of all the papers of when my son went to Paris to take his exam in Paris. He went to the military academy to dig up these papers, these historic papers of my great grandfather. Well, he was involved with the coming back from Russia from the war with the Napoleon army. He was chef de bataillon of the infantry, and he then came back, and for his services he has been given Gut Weselmannshof in the Rhineland, in Wesel on the Nether Rhine, and that was the family seat of my father and us. And then of course with all the after the inflation it had to be sold, and this, so he sort of military background there.
What was it like living in a city like Dresden? I know this had a reputation for being a very beautiful city before the war.
Yes.
Could you describe what the city meant to you as a young person?
Yes, as a young person, of course, as a child, you don't stray far away from home, but we were living near the River Elbe, on the Rietzelstraße. This is, Rietzel was a painter, and that was a side street to the Marschallstraße. Marschall is of course a military rank, and this Rietzelstraße went to the Elbe, and we always went down to the River Elbe, and me of course with my drawing pad sitting on the banks of the Elbe making the drawings of this wonderful skyline of the Elbe there. And it was called Florence on the Elbe because of its beauty, all these the bridges over the River Elbe and the skyline. And it was, of course, a jewel of a city. It had in its mountains towards this Sächsische Schweiz, what they call the Switzerland of Saxony, it had silver mountains, silver in its mountains. It had also gold and also pearls, oyster pearls in the river, and diamonds, green diamonds, hardly found anywhere else. Green diamonds found in the mountains of Saxony. And that was the wealth of Dresden, this beautiful city, of course. Then, of course, after the war, it fell into the Russian hands.
Well, I'll ask you about that later. Yes. But you were talking about drawing. So yes. Were you an artistic child then, Karin?
Yeah, probably, yes. Well, I always drawing and model making. And as a child, I made models of buildings and out of old shoe boxes and so on, and always drawing. And then also, I always used to make dolls. I used to make dolls, and even now, I restored dolls and so on. And so I used to do these things, music and drawing and making things, and this was our background. Mm-hmm. My brother played the flute, and my other brother played the flute and the guitar, classic guitar, and my father sang, my father also played the classic guitar, and my mother, of course, the piano, and they sang. So we were always a lively family.
Because historically and musically,
yes.
That's a very interesting part of Germany, isn't
yes.
it? Leipzig,
yes.
I suppose, would have been fairly near.
Yes, Leipzig is not far, and I don't remember the exact mileage as such. But of course, after the war, then I went to the Academy of Art in Leipzig as a woodcarver and a sculpture studies, and. That is where we then, after we found our father again, made our home in a little wooden hut, which was left behind. All these military organizations had their service huts and their little military huts, and there was a little plot of five little huts, and we had a little hut.
Well, I
hope we then use.
You're going to tell me a lot about that, but that's a few hours ahead, I think.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, it would be very interesting if you could tell me what it was like growing up. Because obviously, you were growing up in Hitler's Germany,
yes.
Were you not?
Yes.
You would have been born, what year?
1930. Yes. The time, exactly that time. And I remember in that house in Rietzschestrasse, that was these big old houses, like in London, these enormous big old houses with these vaulted cellars, enormous houses. And we had a flat there with these big rooms, stucco and palatial rooms they were. And my mother held us, of course I had my twin brother and myself, she held us in her arm looking out of the window when all these torch marches were, these torch marches. We could see marches, people with torches there, sort of that noise, that still stuck in my mind. It's looking down from the window and seeing this. And then of course, growing up, getting old, growing up and being a little older and so on, and remembering, and when these rallies where people had to go down and you had to raise your hand in the salute. If you didn't, you had somebody's elbow in your ribs. Yes, yes, all these things. So they soon would observe who didn't raise the hand in salute, and that was quite a frightening thing, actually, and these things I remember. So.
How about your education? Where did
yes.
you go to school?
I went to the normal Volksschule, what they call the normal school. there. I then, when you are 13, you will then either go on to a gymnasium or something. But it never came about because my father was then, well, he didn't belong to the party. So they kept an eye on him. And when it came to being drawn into the army, so he went voluntarily. And he took our horses with him to strap the filming equipment on it, because he had all that left from his work in Africa. And so that's what he did. He went through the Caucasus. Yeah.
Yes, and I must ask you about that. That would have been during the war time,
during
would
the
it?
War. Yes. Yes.
In
yes.
in this period before the war, yes. at your folk school, Shula,
yes. Yes.
When you look back, you know, was there much Nazi indoctrination, would you say?
It's difficult to say, because as a child these things are done by stealth, without children noticing. Without one thing I remember, my elder brother, he's 5 years older, he was very bright, and he also was the youth chess champion of Saxony. And he was sort of singled out as towards the elite. And there were always this, you have to join the Hitler Youth. We came, mummy, we would like to join the Hitler Youth. They do singing, of course, everything I like. They do artwork, they do sport, they do everything which is enticing to youngsters. And my mother, and that is why my father went into volunteered. My mother, well, you have to wait till father comes home. I cannot make decisions without father. So we had to wait. And of course, he never came home during the war. Well, that is now, the war started 1939, and we were 9 years then, 9 years old, and of course went to school when we were 7. And at that time, we were what they called the Pimpfe, the pre Hitler Youth group. You see, like the play school. You see, we had these little sort of neck scarves there with the wokkle on. It's a little bit like the Scouts and Brownies, but the other he. Gosh, Hitler was so shrewd in knowing how to entice people into capture them. Well, anyway, we little ones, we started sort of in assembly, Heil Hitler, this sort of thing, all these little kiddies there. And then we sang, our leader is Adolf Hitler, he gives us work and bread, we sang this. And of course, that is how these children were gradually indoctrinated. I remember this, and all these little ones. And then, of course, when we wanted to join and into the Hitler Youth proper, and then, of course, you have to wait till father comes home and ask father. And, of course, father had to come from the front, and all this, first from Russia, from the French, and then from the Russian front.
Yes. Do you think, you know, this song, Hitler Gives Us Bread and...
Work and bread.
Yes. When you think of the history of Germany at that time, were there positive aspects to what Hitler was doing at different stages?
People thought so. The economy thought so. But in retrospect, when you think back now, all the history, he forged ahead and mortgaged the nation to the hilt and had to wage war, hoping that he could raid other countries. That was his. But of course, who knows? That nobody did. And we we thought, ah, yes, at least we get some shoes and we get this, and there is work and they're building the motorways and all this sort of thing.
Yes, because you were saying earlier, weren't you, about the inflation?
Yes.
You know, and what a problem that was.
Yes, I have one, it's on the bookshelf there, 1 million mark note in a frame. And every time when people say, oh, we need this and we need that and we need this, and when they want to print money, I said, that's what it is. That's the reality of it. And always have this million mark. And then, of course, in the morning you had a wheelbarrow load of, well, I didn't quite remember this. I don't remember these things. That was before I was born. But that was the inflation that really brought Germany so low. A wheelbarrow load of banknotes hardly could buy you a loaf of bread. People should remember that and be frugal.
Did you ever see Hitler?
No, I didn't. One thing was, we had these rallies on the Elbe Bank. These rallies on the Elbe Bank, of course, people. And that was after the assassination attempts, when Hitler, when they tried to assassinate Hitler. And of course, then this God saved by Providence. Oh, halo, 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 this sort of thing. And one speech and then another speech, and this sort of, people were dazed. They were dazed. I mean, I can't explain these things. It's incomprehensible to anybody in Britain how things actually like that could happen.
Would you have had radio at that time in Germany? In your home?
Yes, but only... When was that? We didn't have radio first. We didn't have radio. Oh yes, later on. That was just the first years of the war. We had radio, not before. And of course, through the radio, all you get is Goebbels speaking, and then party policies, and then what the dreadful aggressors, of course, which is England or France or whoever, what they do. And then, of course, how on earth can anybody check on those things? Oh, everything! Oh my God, you ought to read the book. You ought to read the book, The Man Who Made Hitler. It is, of course, Goebbels. And he was a diabolic master of propaganda. And, of course, which all these offshoots, Saddam Hussein, use as their teacher. Suppressing the people of their nations. It's frightening.
Have you any idea, you know, how your... parents reacted to Hitler? Was there any sort of discussion in the home?
My father, you had to be very careful. You had to be extremely careful, because children have ears like lynx. And they might say something to a friend at school, and the teacher picks it up, who, of course, is then duty-bound to tell the authorities. And that was the danger of when I the row we had at home, when my brother wanted to join. He said, he was, of course, bright, the elite chess champion. He was picked out to join the SS. Christ Almighty. Him. My God, the row. I have never, ever, ever experienced a row in our home. But that was it. And then you had to be so careful, because as soon as my brother would say anything that we would stop him, or my father and my mother tried to stop him, well, they would have gone without trace. You had to, it's razor blade dancing all the way. I can't explain it. Even now, when I hear things, or silly little programs on television, or stupid little detective stories on television. That was silly. He shouldn't do that. When he goes along there, he should take his shoes off. You hear the creaking of the soles. All that, it's still in my blood. Things like that. To be so careful.
Were you aware of the sort of anti-Semitism which was so much a part of, you know, the National Socialism?
Yes, yes, of course. What it was, you then, at home we don't spoke about it. We didn't speak about it. But you can see on the faces of my father or my mother sort of a sorrowful. And when you saw the people with their stars, and you were not allowed even to smile at them. You were not even allowed to have a friendly countenance. You had to walk past. Terrible. You see, now, in it, all what I remember this, it's coming, it's like sort of a bottled, and it never really comes to the surface. But being transported back to this, you remember the attitudes one had. You had to be so careful yourself. It's even you see, hear people say how can they, and then the Boy Scout bravery. I would have stepped in. Hell, they would. Nobody could. Nobody could. You see now, when you see the terrorism, the tyranny of skinheads. You see the tyranny of skinheads. People rather keep quiet and go away. And there you have the tyranny of these brown shirts. The tyranny of those. I mean, people, they go past. It's such a terror. And I don't quite know how to put it, because it sounds so unbelievable.
Did you yourself ever witness any action against Jews or Jewish property?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. That was probably because, A, we were very protected, and then also when we were, children hardly do, unless they go out on the street and see things. But we went to school and home.
And there weren't Jewish children at school?
At school, I remember one child, she had almost white blonde plaits. And she couldn't have looked more German and Aryan. And she disappeared. And I remember, we said, where is she? Where's Rina? Where is she? Oh, she had to go to a concentration camp. And we didn't know what it was. I said, what is a concentration camp? Oh, that is where all the people who are not quite German have to concentrate. Whatever that meant. And then we thought, oh, well, yes, they have. And that was the only thing I really remembered. That, of course, and then you didn't think any more about it. That girl. That I haven't witnessed any atrocities against Jews at all. All I knew, I then remembered is when people with the star, they sort of scuttled along the road, or we were not allowed to look at them, and you had to walk past them. This, and of course, as a child, you you didn't really go deeper into that.
Was there ever any sort of anti-Semitic posters or publications that children were showing?
At school, I didn't remember any of that. I didn't remember any of that. But I remember sort of people talking about sort of drawing comparison of, you know, when you see the Jewish people, they are completely different in their looks, with wispy beards or dark hairs or dark eyes. And that's why I was so extremely surprised about this blonde girl. And they sort of walked slightly different. And then you see these blonde brown shirts there, and these people sort of emphasizing their Aryan master look, this sort of thing. The comparison of that, and you think, oh, well, different people, you see. But that was my particular background.
Yes.
That was my particular background, because of my father. So we never spoke about it. We never talked about it. But that was because my father was an ethnologist who was interested in other cultures anyway. You see?
Did he teach at a university?
Yes, yes.
At Dresden?
Yes, yes. As an ethnologist. Yes.
Yes, it's interesting, Karen, you know, what you're saying. That, you know, growing up as a young... Well, all your life, really,
yes.
Wasn't it? In,
yes.
Nazi Germany until
yes.
the war, until you were 9, that this must have been normal to you.
Yes, yes, yes. And then, of course, I mean, the German nature is very orderly and very tidy and everything in its place and things like that. And so that's why I have a little bit of scuttle sometimes with my two men, sort of throw their tie off and over the chair. And then I think, oh, well, never mind. When we are all gone, sitting on the pink cloud, plucking our harp, all these things don't matter, you see.
I'm sure your cloud would be extra tidy.
Oh, no, 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 not at all.
This sort of period when, you know, Germany was expanding, you know, as a young child, were you made aware of that? The sort of takeover of the Rhineland?
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Czechoslovakia?
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, then these unstoppable forces. Now we know why Hitler built the motorway, to bring his forces fast to where he wanted them to be. And but again, we never spoke about it. What can you? I mean, it is. I don't quite know. When I think of discussions we have, Francis, our son, Patrick, my husband, us, or with people, well, this was not possible. You couldn't discuss things or speak things. You had to, you noticed trends. And you noticed at first trends and people who try to do something, stand up for right, how they gradually vanish. And then it is as if you have you have to take your little flame of and sort of safeguard and go through all this and what can you do? I don't know how to explain it.
I don't know.
It's very difficult. Because you see, like in France, everybody now is a resistance fighter. You see? And then I think, here I'm sitting and say my father wasn't in the Nazi party, nor was my mother. Because at that time, thank heaven, women still had to wait for the permission of their husbands. You see? So women's slip goes two ways. You see?
Again, remembering that you were very young,
yes.
You were only 9 when the war
yes.
started.
Yes.
But were you aware of sort of feelings towards the outside world? Who would be regarded as enemies? And
Everybody was, you see, this. Of course, not to us. Not to again, my father and so. I mean, in our household again. And of course, he was also being looked upon with a wary eye, because he, as a university man, he had contacts, you see, and they were being sort of observed, and therefore we had to be very, very quiet, and not even the luxury of speaking to the children or to the